This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Where did the month go? Well, April is around the corner, so we've got our last news roundup of March here for you. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm joined by co-host David Figler and Nevada Current editor April Corbin-Gurnis, and we're talking about cell phone pouches at CCSD, early ballot measure polling, and a very special, very large, adoptable cat. It's Friday, March 29th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Hey, y'all. It's our second birthday. CityCast Las Vegas is 2 years old today.
Happy birthday.
I remember it like it was 2 years ago.
You've been with us since the beginning. I'm the newbie here, but...
The debut.
Happy birthday.
And now we're the terrible twos.
CityCast Las Vegas. Yeah, get ready for my tantrums, producers Sonia Cho Swanson and Leila Mohammed. I'm two now. So let's get to some news, right? So this is a really interesting news item from this past week that the Clark County School District is going to roll out cell phone pouches. David, what does that mean?
Yeah, so CCSD has adopted a policy requiring all 6th through 12th graders to place their cell phones in an individual pouch that blocks a signal during class time instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to be a slow rollout, only about 10% so far implemented, but it will be 100% at the beginning of the 24-25 school year. The school district says these new pouches, quote, prevent and reduce distractions in the classroom, allowing for a productive learning environment and increasing student focus on instruction. Unsurprisingly, a number of teens and even their parents have spoken out against this policy. Mm. They're citing security concerns in these days of bullying and physical violence and creepy CCSD employees and even active shooters. Some parents are asserting a right to be in constant contact with their children if some sort of emergency pops up, whatever it is, that can't wait until after trig. And of course, if the kids don't have their cell phones, how are they going to be able to communicate in real time to all their friends about the new, I don't know, what are the kids into these days? Marky Mark song that just dropped on MySpace.
Yeah, the new Marky Mark song. That is exactly what the kids are into.
Sure.
But like anything goes in the hallways, right? That's part of it.
I think so, yeah. But that's kind of the problem, because while the pouches are going to be a district-wide policy, there is a concern that there doesn't seem to be a consistent policy on when it can be broken. Or even where the pouches can be located in the classroom. I should note that they can easily be opened because they're only sealed with a little Velcro
it's not
label.
Like, have either of you had the experience, like, I went to the John Mulaney show and we had to, like, have our cell phones sealed in a bag. Have you been to a show like that, April?
Yeah, no, but I've been to one where you had to, like, check it in a phone, like a coat check, but it was a phone check. That was even worse.
And you went, had to go pick it up at the end. Yeah,
yeah.
I just had to get mine unlocked at the
terrible.
End. So these aren't locked, per se.
Yeah.
They just have
the
Velcro strap.
Yeah. So they're still accessible. Okay, well... I mean, I have friends that are teachers, and they're constantly complaining that the kids are on their cell phones. But, of course, those teacher friends are doing that while their cell phone is in their hand and they're on it. It's an issue for all of us, right? So, April, what do you think are some of the benefits to students here?
I mean, the benefits also obviously are that phones are really distracting for them. I mean, if they're on, if a student is at their desk scrolling Instagram or whatever, that's obvious they're not working on classrooms and stuff. And I've heard from high school teachers that if you go into a high school lunchroom these days, that it's just hundreds of kids sitting at desks, like at lunch tables, staring at their phones.
Yeah, which, that like, tracks.
And like, obviously they would be able to use their phones, it sounds like, during lunch or whatever. But I think the overall just omnipresence of like, just of cell phones is kind of distracting, and like, people are less social. I mean, I've heard that like high school students, like if they have crushes and stuff, they just like slide into each other's DMs instead of go talk to each other and stuff. And I think that a lot of us as a society are kind of of wondering about like that overuse of technology and that losing of face-to-face, especially in the sort of post-COVID world where we were sort of all sheltered for a while. And now it's really hard for people to emerge and like socialize and do all of these things that are actually very important to being human. So I think the benefit is getting rid of that. And obviously cheating, you could probably use self-aware cheating. There's probably concerns about that too. But I think mainly it's just distractions and, you know, phones can be really disruptive.
I mean, good points. It actually reminded me of a teacher I had in college. I mean, I did go to art school, but he made a point to say, if I see you sketching your notebook, I don't care. Because I know that people, I know that shocked you, April. I saw that face. Because he's like, I know people process information differently and that especially you're all visual people. So like, if you need to doodle on your pages during lectures, like, I don't mind. You're still here. You're taking the tests, whatever. So this, this does seem bigger than that cool S we would draw on our notebooks. But, of course, teenagers are just mimicking what we do as adults, too, right? I mean, David, what do you mentioned some of the potential fallouts, like people want, there could be emergencies, bullying, teachers doing bad things. I mean, what are the other potential fallouts of this policy? Are those real concerns?
I think they're real concerns, but, you know, if this technology was around when I was a kid, I'd be doomed. I mean, we're so immersed in this other world that the world in front of us does get somewhat lost. What is the fallout? I mean, you know, you could come up with these sort of nightmare scenarios where having access to the phone would be really important. What is interesting to me is that as this, you know, new policy has been rolled out, we're not the first to do this. This is happening all over the country. I would love to see data on if productivity of students or comprehension skills of students or engagement of students or college admittance of students or truantism are impacted in any way by a policy like this. I mean, I like data-driven choices when it comes to implementing policies and not knee-jerk reactive. Oh, the cell phones, because technology has taken over.
That's a great point,
it's evil,
David.
Let's get rid of it. So, you know, and this is kind of like a big criticism that has been lobbied at CCSD for a very long time, is that they just are constantly experimenting with new ways to do things better, or you know, but it seems more anecdotal than evidence
without
sometimes.
Without a data point. Like, automatically, cell phones are bad. We need to put them away.
I mean, I assume someone somewhere is looking at that, but I think it just needs to be shared with the public a little more, so that's part of the discourse.
I know at some high schools, they're already really strict on phones.
Yeah.
Like, I know that, and it's changed. My husband is a teacher, and, you know, he's told me before that his former principal was really hardlined on phones. Like, if they saw phones in the hallway between passing periods, if kids saw them, or if teachers saw them in classrooms, they were supposed to confiscate them. They were, like, really strict on cell phones in that or whatever. And he said that, you know, if a new principal comes in, sometimes that policy changes and they're a little laxer and he can tell a difference. I think that, like David's saying, I think this data is out there. I think people, I think anecdotes are out there. I think you could talk to people about it. I just don't know that they've had that conversation that CCSD's, like, put forth, like, this is the reason why we're doing that. I think we should be hearing from teachers and administrators about what they think and like whether or not it's been a difference. Because I can guarantee you all of the teachers have very strong opinions about this and they may know.
Yeah, instead of something that just feels a little reactive, right? Like we're doing this. You know, on one hand, maybe I should keep my phone in a Velcro pouch because I am pretty sick of endlessly digging for it in my giant bucket bag. So at least I would know where it was. But you know what? I love that we're exploring some different sides because, yes, I do think that they can be very distracting in class, especially if students have other methods to take notes. But of course, like, I used to be a tour guide for a living in a very prestigious museum, and I would get high school and college students who would just come up to me and say, I'm here for class, I'm going to have my cell phone out, but it's just because I'm taking notes. And you're like, great. You know, technology isn't all bad. And especially for someone of my advanced age, unusually, I always had a computer in my household. So my family was always very like early technology adapters. And now that I'm past 40, I've realized that continued relationship with technology has helped me. I'm the IT person for my friend group is what it's come down to. So like we're talking about kids that are our future doctors and astronauts. And so technology is not always a bad thing. It's not always a distraction. It's an important skill set. We're just talking about a generational divide where Some people have grown up with technology and some people haven't. So let me ask this, sort of related, you know, how porous should our classrooms be? Is there a certain right to privacy within classrooms, or is transparency important? So like, should the students be able to film the teacher when she's going off, or, you know, is what happens in a classroom should stay in the classroom?
It's a rough balance, you know. Great points could be made on both sides. Like, if you have a teacher going off on a racist rant, if you have a teacher being abusive to a student, that kind of memorialization and documentation tends to fall on the backs of the students who have their cell phones, because I think everyone would be a little queasy, maybe, of having, like, cameras in every courtroom.
Yeah.
Sorry. Cameras in every classroom.
And cameras in every classroom.
You get the cameras in every classroom. How many, like, parents are going to be looking in the whole time?
Or will they even have access to that?
And taking notes and sending notes to the assistant principal. I can't
Absolutely
believe you're teaching
not.
My kids this. You know, and there's also that, like, monitoring of content that could be happening. You
yeah,
know?
Seriously.
So there's a lot of things. But, you know, also, we do like memorialization. We like proof that comes from video. But then there's also the idea of exploitation when we see kids fighting in classrooms. Like, I don't want that to be posted and go viral. Like, there's no net benefit for society. But then again, I'm an old crank, and I think they should bring back cursive as an instruction for elementary kids.
You'll be glad to know they have. I don't know about
God.
CCSD.
That'll save us all.
It is being taught. It is being taught throughout the world because it is a quicker way of writing things down, right? And because students are using tablets again. So, like, it's becoming relevant again. Don't worry, David. You know, I do think that cell phones, it does put a lot of power into an individual's hands, and that is power that people don't necessarily want teenagers to have. And you know, I'm all about power to the people. April, any last things to say about the old cell phones?
No, I mean, I think it's a good conversation. And I think ultimately, I think my personal opinion is that it's probably more of a net bad than a net positive. Like, for every racist teacher that you get on rant, that you get them fired, which is a good thing because they shouldn't be doing that. I think there are 1,000 teenagers, specifically teenage girls, who are being bullied.
Seriously.
And having photos taken of them and, you know, being put on Instagram. And
without their permission.
Without their permission.
That's the thing, right?
And photos, you know, being, you know, send me this photo, and then they get sent around the school. And I think there are so many more stories of that than there are of the times where the phones are good. But it's a case-by-case basis. So we'll see. I would be surprised. Not to be predictive, but not to try and read the future. But I mean, I'd be surprised if this goes really far.
Like, and communications, I think, I mean, I know we're all in 2024, but they could probably wait the 20 minutes until class is done.
And I think that is actually a good habit to build. But if anyone does get their hands on one of those Velcro pouches, I would like one so I can find my phone.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So, April, coming to you, you know, we actually just talked about there weren't polls released, and here we are. Our first ballot polling numbers came out this week. So what does it say in the ballot?
Yes. So Noble Predictive Insights polled a bunch of likely voters on 6 ballot measures, 3 of which are already scheduled for the ballot and the 3 of which are working through the process of getting on the ballot. So those are 3 that will not be on the ballot probably this year. They may be, they're somewhere along the process or whatever. So talking first about the ballot measures that are going to be on the ballot, that are already approved, you'll see them in November.
Okay.
They asked about whether or not People would support exempting sales tax for diapers, and 71% of people support that.
What?
David.
No, why is it not 92%?
Oh, you're like,
who are the people who are like, F those seniors and their leaky bladders.
It's
they
the
need
same
to pay like the rest of us.
Your fault, you're pregnant. It's the,
yeah,
I
it's the, like, I don't want to pay for other people's babies or whatever. It's,
so that was 71%.
71%.
Okay.
And then there is going to be a ballot measure about removing the Board of Regents from the Nevada State Constitution.
Wow.
And that was the one that people were most split on. It was 34% were in favor, and then a little less were like, yeah.
Do people probably know who the Board of Regents is?
I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. And you may remember that this was an issue that appeared on the last in the last election cycle. It was sort of narrowly defeated, I think largely because people were confused about it. It was a really long ballot measure and people didn't understand it. It's kind of a complicated topic.
Wait, so while we're going through these item by item, which I love, who is the Board of Regents? Who are they? What
we
do
talked
they do?
About them. They're the ones, the one guy who made that
anti-trans comment.
Yes.
And they're elected officials and they oversee education.
Higher education.
Higher education within the state.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so UNR, UNLV, the community colleges, DRI, all of those or whatever, all of them fall under the Board of Regents. And Nevada is a weird sort of thing where they're like split. But anyway, the crux is, I think the big takeaway from that one is that people are split. They don't really know it. They don't understand it. That's going to be a hard thing to go forward just because people don't get it.
Maybe we got to do an episode on the Board of Regents and what they do.
You can. Absolutely. There's going to be a lot of voter education that needs to be on that specific issue.
All right. So there's one more that is definitely going to be on the ballot.
Yes. And people probably have heard of this one because it was on the ballot last time. This is the ranked choice and open primaries ballot question three. And they, Noble Predictive Insights did a thing where they asked, they didn't just ask whether or not they supported that ballot measure as a whole. They asked whether or not you supported ranked choice, open primaries, or one or both.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So they kind of split it up, even though voters will not have the chance to split it up. They just have to vote yes or no. But so it ended up being that 27% of people support both ranked choice and open primaries. 23% support open primaries, but not ranked choice voting. 5% supported ranked choice voting, but not open primaries.
Oh my God.
And then 19% supported neither.
So open primaries, meaning that currently you have to be registered as a Democrat or a Republican to be in our primaries in the state.
Correct. And about 1/3 of all voters are registered nonpartisan.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good point. And so no.
So that's why open. Yes.
Okay, so those were the three that are definitely going to be on the ballot. Can you give us a quick summary of the three that are maybe going to be on the ballot?
Yeah,
in the fall?
So the other one, the one that may appear on the ballot, depending on court cases and signatures, is abortion, putting abortion in the Constitution. 68% of the people they polled support that. And then the other two that they asked about was the creation of a Nevada state lottery. 75% of people support that.
Interesting.
And then the last one was a proposal to cap payday loans at a 36% interest rate. And 66% of voters said they supported that.
And that might actually show up because there was a ruling that just came out recently from Carson City, where those things get decided, that allowed a narrow version of the cap on payday lending practices
to
go through.
So all of those are somewhat in the the lottery's the furthest away, but all of those have not confirmed for the ballot, but they're issues that you should pay attention to because they're kind of important.
So any surprises for either of you in these numbers?
I think abortion seems low, but I don't know.
And that's to enshrine the right of access to an abortion in the Constitution, even though it is our law right now that allows it.
Correct.
I mean, it feels low, but it's also, I mean, we're continuing to see majority votes in these ballot measures across the country, including in my home state of Ohio, which as an aside is amazing because they used to have a 6-week abortion ban and then it got on the ballot and now it's enshrined in Ohio's constitution. So, you know, that is considerably high across the country, but there always isn't a majority. But I understand your surprise. I mean, mine is for the lottery. I'm shocked that we want more forms of gambling. Like, who cares? Other states have lotteries because they don't have the access to legal gambling that we have. That was surprising
for
me.
That didn't surprise me at all.
What a great point, Sarah. Which I agree with 100%.
I mean, whatever, I guess, but I'm just shocked.
I'm not surprised. First of all, I've said it before, and I will say it every opportunity I get. It's a horrific idea in a state like Nevada with all the various forms of gambling that they have. and a new focus on targeting locals to enhance the gaming machine to put a new stream of local-focused gambling that has low barrier and is accessible mostly everywhere, but especially targeting poorer neighborhoods, which is what lottery does consistently. But I'm not surprised. I'm surprised the numbers are even higher. It's kind of like putting chocolate on the ballot and then polling puppies.
Do you like chocolate?
If they want it. You know, yeah, I mean, 100% of puppies say they want full access to all chocolate all the time.
But then that money would go to the state to fund things like schools and things like that, right? But you would rather see a higher tax on the gaming that already exists that goes to those things.
It's like you can read my mind.
I can, David, at this point.
And it's also people tend to have a inflated sense of what kind of money these bring in.
Yes.
Actually, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, when marijuana was on the ballot and they pushed it as like, this is going to fund education, like, okay, regardless of how much the sort of moving of money that went around in the state, which we won't get into, but like, it was never going to be a large amount of money. Like, there are only like two taxes that are able to fund something in the billions and billions and billions and billions the way that like education or healthcare needs to be funded. And it's not, it was never going to be marijuana. It's not going to be the lottery. Like, yeah, it's going to bring in some money if they do it, but it's not going to be enough. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to move the needle in terms of funding for the major things. So
and also
need to
there's
get
a
that
social cost and no one ever
exactly.
takes into account.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Exactly. All of that.
I am interested, though, in the discussion around the ranked voting, because it did pass last time. Did it not?
It did pass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember, April? Can we look it up really quick if you don't? Do you remember how close it was last time?
We can look it up. Let's see. It was 53% to 47%.
Pretty close, but not by election standards.
Well, I mean, a lot closer than some of these other polling numbers.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously these ballot issues are going to be up for a vote during what is also a presidential election. But because this is a Trump v. Biden rematch, people are feeling like pretty apathetic about, I think, the future of our country. So my question is, are any of these issues, would they get those voters that are feeling apathetic to the polling booth to make sure they send in their ballots, et cetera, et cetera?
Abortion will.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think there's ample evidence from elections we've seen in the last few years in other states that abortion ballot measures do get particularly Democrats out and people who want to protect the abortion, the right to an abortion.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've seen some like contrary data. It certainly you're not wrong. It drives women to the polls big time. And it drives a lot of people who wouldn't otherwise
with uteruses.
Vote.
To the polls.
But sometimes, you know, that's a little bit more bipartisan an issue than people give credit for. And I think that the Dems definitely bank on something like the abortion ballot question to drive people towards their down ballot people. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it might even, you know, be a little bit of a backfire in a certain way. I think a lot of Trump people are going to come out.
I feel like Nevada is really stepping up into its place of now being a sanctuary state for abortion. We are absorbing people from the surrounding Southwest, especially Texas, who are seeing their right to bodily health and care as people with uteruses affected. I think we're going to see a lot more conversation about that. And I think that probably enshrining this in our Constitution, although it was already protected in the state, but making this official will probably help those conversations. Because if you've got a lot of people coming in from outside of the state seeking abortions, that's more money. That is, we need more resources to make sure we're also taking care of our own as well. But I don't know. The vibes I got is that Nevadans are ready to step up and do that.
You know, a lot of it's going to depend, because these ballot questions don't always happen in a vacuum. There had to be an effort to get them on the ballot, gathering signatures, et cetera. I think it really is going to depend on which one of those ballot measures or which ones of those ballot measures has a campaign behind it.
Interesting.
So if we start seeing television commercials about, you know, the predatory practices of payday lending, if that makes it on the ballot, or we see commercials from one side or the other, because, you know, I think the payday lending people have a lot of money saying this is the worst thing, because we should be able to charge 600-700% interest. And I'm sure they have a justification. It's because you're giving people a chance who wouldn't otherwise get conventional loans from banks. Great, great. Good job, guys. But yeah, those kind of like TV campaigns, driving messages, tend to make people go and vote a little bit more too. Maybe that can break through, you know, people's just frustration with the choices that they seem to not really love. on the presidential.
Yeah. And I will say, to answer something that David mentioned earlier about ranked choice voting, which passed in the last election, that's coming back up again. It needs to pass again. And if it does, then it's sort of, that's the new system that we'll have to use. Mm. And we're going to see a lot more action on that. Like, mm-hmm. people did not fight it as much. The people who disapprove of that did not fight it as hard as they could have last time around, because they knew that if it passed, it would have to come again. But okay. there's going to be a lot more money spent and a lot more emphasis on trying to kill ballot question three yeah. this time around.
The parties hate it.
Because both parties hate it, and they are going to fight it this time, and they're going to fight it with money this time, and in a way we did not see last time.
Interesting.
So look for that. But also, I think that, and like Dave, to David's point, that may drive people out to be like, oh, I want to change the system, or I want to... They'll be more motivated beyond, so we'll see.
Okay, so in our final round, a very special chunky boy is up for adoption at the Animal Foundation. So his name is Smokey, and he weighs 29 pounds.
Oh my God, I waited until this moment to take a look at this cat.
Okay, well, no, this is, I'm going to put it in the chat.
I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Smokey right now.
Hold on, let me put him in the chat.
Smokey looks like three cats pretending to be an adult cat in a trench coat.
All right, so if we could all be looking at Smokey, please, because it's really important to the first question. First question is, is Smokey a very good, perfect boy, yes or no?
Yes.
I can't believe you hesitated.
Yes.
Yes.
I was laughing too hard. Poor Smokey. So big.
April, very good, perfect boy. Yes or no?
Yes, obviously.
Obviously, yes. A very good, perfect boy. He is a wonderful sausage. He's a 10-year-old, 29-pound gray short hair cat. He's got a marvelous frowny face and bright green eyes. And the Animal Foundation is looking for someone to adopt him who will help him lose weight. Because although he's an incredible chunkus with a perfect belly, he could probably stand to lose a few pounds. I'm not here to body shame, Smokey. I think you're perfect already, my little friend. But I love this campaign. You know, I'm curious, would either of you be willing to take on, not necessarily Smokey, but I would love that for you if you did, but would you be willing to take on a special needs pet?
I would foster a special needs pet for a limited amount of time mm-hmm. to see if I was the right fit for that animal.
Pet, foster to adopt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if so, I would take that pet in. I would take a chance if a pet was in need, and especially if it was within a family situation or a friend or something like that, like someone really who I knew cared about that pet, I would do mm-hmm. that. But I wouldn't want to commit until I knew that it was a good fit for both sides.
Yeah. This is going to make me sound terrible or whatever.
No, it's okay.
I don't know that I could.
I really wouldn't take that pet, April.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no way. I'm pretending I'm not home.
No, so
the lights went off.
Look, I mean, I have three young kids, one mm-hmm. of which is pretty severely allergic to pets, so we're not taking any pets anyway. But I can barely take a pill every day myself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I am not, I think, especially you have to be a certain type of person to do that. And I'm mm-hmm. not the type of person to, I don't know enough about it. If administering medications every day and doing all of these kinds of things are not my wheelhouse.
Sure.
I will say, to virtue signal myself a little here, I have always adopted not puppies and like older dogs. Like, I've adopted
yeah.
two dogs that were like 8+ years in the past, knowing that a lot of people don't go for the older dogs, and knowing that even if you have a short period, so that's a
yeah.
level of, you know, helping animals in need. But like, I don't know the first thing about how to make a cat lose a bunch of weight. Like, I don't.
have you seen those videos of cats on water treadmills, just like, if you
amazing.
Haven't,
give them
a Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have kind of before. I had a cat who was a kitten, had an eye infection, and so only had one little pirate eye, and she was fine. One day she turned around too quick and clunked into, like, the cabinet, but because it was her bad eye. But in general, it's like, you know, it at first felt a little intimidating and strange, like, what will people think of my cat's empty eye socket? But she was a lovely, lovely, lovely cat. You've all heard it here. Probably not first. You know, pets are amazing. It's sad at the end. But gosh, the trade-off is so incredible. So get out there and maybe, like, bring Smokey into your life. And oh my God, if you do, please tag us in the Instagram
yes.
photos. Please. So we can follow his journey.
Yeah. And even if Smokey's gone, you could get like a 28-pound or a 25-pound cat. There's plenty available at Animal Foundation.
You know, head out to your local animal shelter. I'm also mm-hmm. a big fan of Hearts Lab Animal Rescue. They've got a cat cafe in town. So you can go meet those cats in a calm environment and see if one of them is for you. All right, you two. Thank you so much for this conversation. And I'll see you both soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A lot of fun as always.
Our birthday wish? Go tell three friends about the show. Maybe they're coming to town, maybe they just moved here, but you know, bring them along for the ride. Otherwise, that is all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. Our producers this week were Sonia Cho Swanson, Layla Mohammed, and Lizzie Goldsmith. Our newsletter editor is Rob Catchell-Reese, and our hosts are David Figler and me, Sarah Lohman. Music is by OG Moose, Epidemic Sound, and All the Kimonos. We record this show on the traditional homelands of the Nuuvi, the Southern Paiute people. We'll be back Monday morning with more news from around the city. Take care. Where did March go? Well, April Corbin Gurnas is right around the corner.
No.
So stupid. Okay.
Yeah, no.
I'm still laughing. I can't stop. It's not outside me. It's inside me, and it's a riot.
I'm never coming back. I'm never coming back.
That was good, dude.